and a warm welcome to the service this morning, and a special welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. I can only see one so far, but there might be more than one, but it's good to see everybody, and especially those who are visiting. Tea and coffee at the end of the service, as you know, and all are welcome to join with us for that. In the course of the week, there's the things as usual. The Ladies' Bible Study meets tomorrow at 8 in Tarbert. I'm not quite sure where, but the ladies can confer amongst themselves to decide that. First Fruit on Tuesday, Road to Recovery on Tuesday here at 8 in the Community Centre, and there'll be a meeting on Wednesday, but I'll speak about that in a moment. On Tuesday evening, I've been asked to intimate that there'll be a WFM meeting in Scalpe Hall, and it's a craft evening with Joanne, who's over here somewhere. If you're needing a lift out there, speak to Mary, please, and she can help with lifts. There'll be a Deacon's Court meeting tomorrow night, 7:30 in the manse, so please all take note of that, to those who are concerned. And on Wednesday evening, there will be a time of prayer, and we will read the Word of God together, obviously. But we're going to have a congregational meeting rather than a prayer meeting. And that's at 7:30 here in the community centre. And the purpose of that meeting, rather than me speak to that, I think I'll let Gordon speak to that. Thank you, Gordon, for that. The manse that we are staying in is your manse. And we are so thankful to God for providing it and for using the Lord's people to provide it. We're pretty much settled now. We've unpacked most of the boxes. We saw quite a number of you yesterday in the course of the day, and some more in the fellowship in the evening. But just can I underline again, the door is always open. We'd like to see you anytime, and so please come and see us up in the new manse. One or two other things to say. The recent soup and pudding lunch, which was here, you'll remember, raised £677.50. I'm conscious also that there was a fellowship here a couple of Saturdays ago that was organised by Margot and friends. And I'm looking at Marion just now to see if I can remember the amount that was raised to go to Harris House in Weaverburn. It was £800. So 400 each went to the different places. So again, we're thankful to those who contributed and to the Lord for his provision in that. Christianity Explored continues on Thursday at 6. I think that's the last session on Thursday in the Hotel Hebrides. And this coming Saturday, the Sunday School Party, it'll be a community Sunday School Party that will involve all the churches. And that is in Sir Escott School from 1 o'clock to 3:30 in the evening. The Youth Fellowship Party will take place, and that will be in the community centre here. And then the services, God willing, next Sunday, 11 and 6, and they will be conducted by myself. Community carol service in the community centre at 8 p.m. on Sunday the 18th. That's next Sunday. So please take a note of that. One final thing is on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, there'll be a Christmas holiday club in the community centre here from 1 o'clock to 3:30. Following on from the summer holiday club, similar theme, but obviously the Christmas message that will be explored in a very interactive way for the children. So pray for that, please, and take the chance to encourage those who are young in Tarbert to come along to that meeting and North Harris. These, I think, are all the intimations. So let us worship God and sing to God's praise. We sing, first of all, the words on the screen and the words that you'll find in Mission Praise number 493 in Mission Praise. That carol, O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And we sing this, I stand to sing in a moment to God's praise. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this new morning for a new opportunity to come into your presence and to seek to draw near to you, with that confidence that those who seek to draw near to you, you have promised that you will draw near to them. And Lord God, once more we come in the name of our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Emmanuel. which means God with us. And we thank you that everything that we have sung of in that hymn, we see fulfilled in the coming of Christ. We thank you that the one who was promised over hundreds of years as the prophets spoke, inspired by the Spirit, we thank you that he came at just the right time in your determination, Lord. He came. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we thank you that he is the one who was able to break Satan's tyranny. He is the one who was able to save his people from the depths of hell and give them victory over the grave. We thank you that Jesus is the one who was able to disperse the gloomy clouds of night and put death's dark shadows to flight. We thank you that Jesus was the one who was able to open wide our heavenly home and close the path to misery, leading all who look to him and who trust in him to that eternal safety that is on high. Lord God, this morning we confess that we are sinners, that we in our nature and through our action have shown that we are sinners. We are not worthy to come into your presence. And as you look at us, Lord, there is so much that grieves you. And if left on our own, we would have no hope. But we thank you that we celebrate this morning the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And our faith, our hope is in him and all that he has done. So lift our eyes, we pray, from ourselves. Take away from our minds all that would distract us and enable us to fix our eyes upon Jesus and know not only the assurance in the words that we have sung that God is with us, but we pray that we may know the very real sense of the presence of God with us. So meet with us, Lord God, we pray. Bless us as we come to you. And hear our prayers not only for ourselves, but for all who meet in a similar way to us. We think especially of Farrakhan this morning as he leads worship in Leverborough this morning and this evening. We ask, Lord, that you would bless him and that you would use him for your glory, that you would speak through him and give him that sense of your presence as he reads and as he prays, as he speaks to the children and as he preaches your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless that congregation and guide them, we pray, as they seek a man of your choice. We pray that in the vacancy that you would sustain them as you have been. And we pray, Father, that you would guide them so that they would be led to one who will oversee the congregation and bring your word to them, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. We pray for those who would desire to be with us this morning but who are unable to be. Some, Lord, who are ill, some who are tired physically, some who are tied up with the responsibilities of work, who care for those around this island. And whatever the context, Lord, we pray that you would bless and that you would enable your people to be salt and light, whatever they may be this day. And we pray for others who have opportunity to be here but who may be drifting from you. And we don't know what is going on in our heart, but Lord, you see each heart. You search us, you know us. And we pray for those absent that you would draw them to yourself, that they would know the salvation that is found only in Christ. We pray, Lord, for all that is before us in the week ahead. We have listed many different activities in the forthcoming days. And we pray your blessing to be upon each one. We acknowledge you, Lord, trusting not in our own understanding, but asking that you would direct our paths. We thank you for your provision for us and this place that we have met in over these last 2 years. We thank you for the manse that you have provided through your people. And we ask, Lord, that that manse would be a place where you are lifted up and many are drawn to salvation and into a closer walk with you. Use it, we pray. Use us, we pray. All of us, for your glory. And as we seek your will over new premises for the church, we pray that your will would be done. And we pray for solicitors, we pray for all engaged in the practice of what is going on at present. And we ask that you would guide and that you would direct, Lord, and that you would enable us to wait upon you, to follow you, and to know your hand upon us for good. We pray for every effort over these next couple of weeks to reach out in a special way with the Christmas story, the story of Jesus coming into the world. And whether it's Sunday school gatherings, whether it's YF parties, whether it's community carol service, or the Christmas outreach, or the gathering of your people to worship in a way like this, each day we pray that you would be at work, Lord, and that you would make us alert to the opportunities that you will give us to speak of Christ in the season of Christmas. Continue with us now, Lord, we pray. Draw near to those who are sick. Draw near to those who are sad. Draw near to those who are in particular need in this community and meet them at the point of their need. Remember us, Lord, we pray, as a land who have drifted from you. As we have prayed before, once more we pray that you would draw us back. Grant repentance and humility and a recognition that you are our God and that we have to bow before you and follow you. And Lord, we pray for a world so broken, so much suffering. As we think of all that we see in the news, we bring to you what we see in our mind's eye. Those who are caught up in warfare, those who are struggling at present. Lord, we can do nothing better than bring them to you in prayer. So whether it's Mosul or Aleppo, or different parts of the world, we ask, Lord, that you would touch those who are suffering and that you would restrain those who are imposing suffering. Hear our prayers. Continue with us now, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, would you like to come out, please? It's good to see you guys here. I wanted to do a very simple short children's talk with you this morning. I wanted to ask a question of Cammy. I'm not sure if you'll know the answer to this question, but this here is a Pyrex jug. And it takes in it a pint of liquid, or just a little bit over half a litre. Now, Cammy, can you tell us, I haven't checked this, so if you don't know the answer, then you don't know the answer. But do you know how many litres or pints does it take to fill the Tarbert swimming pool?
So you wouldn't be far off a million. Yeah.
A million?
Yeah, you'd say 300 or something,
850,000 to a million of these to fill the Tarbert swimming pool. Now you know why Cammy's so busy. Now you know why he works so hard on a Monday morning when he takes the tap and he fills it up. That's a lot. Here's the bigger question. How many of these would it take to fill the sea? The ocean? Anyone got any guesses? Have a guess. And I'll say higher or lower. Five? Higher? Ten? 500,000? 5 million? 10 million? 15 million? So what's the answer? Don't be shy, put your hand up. What's the answer? How many million? Can we? Anybody? We've got a few seafaring men in the congregation here. How many million? Well, let's change the measure. Let's change the measure from pints and litres to cubic miles. Think about a cubic mile. How many cubic miles of water is there in the ocean? The answer is, anyone know? The answer is we don't really know. I did a wee bit of digging today, but the numbers are actually so big that I don't even know how to say them. And they're just guesses. It says here that they're in the ocean, their best guess is the US Geological Survey. They think that it would take about, if you think about a gallon-sized tub, it would take how many? Here's the number, okay? You ready for the number? Don't know how you say it, but here's the number. 3,5,2,6,7,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0,0, devotion. But the real answer is they don't know, because we just can't measure it. How can you measure God's love for you? Is it small, medium, or big? How big? How can you measure it? Pardon? We just can't. It's so big, God's love, that we just can't measure it. The next time we're going to sing, we're not going to sing it right now, but the next time we're going to sing, it says, here is love, vast as the ocean. God's love. Loving kindness as the flood. And then it doesn't go on to tell us, it's so big, it's this massive, massive big number. The next part of the hymn says, how can we know God's love for us? Well, we can know God's love for us when we think about the fact that the Prince of Life, who's the Prince of Life? Jesus, yeah. Our ransom, the one who bought us back, shed for us his precious blood. Where does that take us to? To the cross. That's where he shed his blood. Who his love, it says, will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Think about the tide of the sea. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant forever from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice. Our sins had to be paid for. Kissed a guilty world in love. How big is God's love for us? It goes all the way from heaven to earth to a cross to pay for our sins, so that we could be taken all the way from sin in earth to go to heaven to be with God forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. And we, no matter how clever we might be, we thank you that there's no one in this world that is so clever that they can understand fully how much you have loved us. Your love is vast as the ocean. And we thank you that as we look to Jesus and remember that he came to this world, and remember that he came as a baby but went all the way to the cross, thank you that you've spoken to us in a way that we can understand about how much you've loved us and how much we can trust you. So we pray that you would help us, whether we are very young or a bit older, help us, we pray, to trust you, to give our lives to you, and to know the promise, being our promise, that we will go from earth to heaven when you call us. So be with us, we pray. We pray for the wee ones who are at the stable. We ask, Lord, that as they think through the whole Christmas story, that you would help them to understand, to be safe, to have good fun, and to know also how much you love them. We pray that they would remember you and trust you in their early years, and that they would walk close with you all the days of their lives. So hear our prayers and continue with us as we sing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now that hymn that I was quoting from. Number 987 in Mission Praise. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. If you could turn, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And we read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And you'll see in the footnote in your Bible, there's an alternative translation there. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen. And may God bless that word to us, his word, and give us understanding. Callum will now lead us in prayer. And Gaelic, please.
Dear Majora, oh, we have been a care, a kibbet, a piece of her, not a line of us, at a going, Karam Kahla, it was at the Owen Talavin, or she had a mallow, a son could you throw the hoo. I wish we had done a tea line, you were so retained, and not a law, the Katiko Nakashinadi, and the news flew at the hawk. Katiko Kirpiaki, Shane, Haya Shahran. What a year. I have seen at the mall loan of the Gar Hushin, I sent Huya Hushin. Could the Gospel so skiving, Gavir Pilu, Gatunsi Hay. I seen at the mall loan, her son, Gdanik, a year's a clear, a Jonsen at Halami. I was Sir Gdanik, a Hidu, Rusi Harna, the nation of Akai, Hatanik, a Hidu, Natonia, Giovi, Othrok. Yushanan, Anike Hidu, Piachi Hilitsa Shinan, as he had the Malo, who he had the Anaka, Krashen Yachkrak, the Polishin, the Rakoch, the Tin Yachkrak, Agus covart ar o gastan yn cio na ddeistach. A thas Iesuas mar alyn o lahe. Agus mar ef a talaf tira. Chan ym masia gyd canafod gymidiad na gynir o mitiad. Fydd gyd mysr o sedd o chwydad chwl le tynia. A gwni galoesan agus giolach eith bro. Agus golach am ac ydyw o'i gwaith. A chlocht ag e. Ysion eith piach gynia. Ys brwg eithon yn maen giach. Lwc y gyddus yn smach gyddydd si, a wys fiach ddech gyrsyn, lan i chyrs sy'n. Os yna dymolag ei lan, yw asŵr o'ch rwy'n gwelle, yn dri sy'n edd osglwg ac ach yn hynnacu, etro dochgw. Os yna dymolag, gydan y gaed yw'n sy'n hwyl, chanam os yna gydig ein sŵl, ach y bydd sŵl edd y hwyr o'ch trilsyn. Gaif sy'n ych ddeud y sam, cha gydig i ar, ach gaif sy'n oes sŵl, a ddeud i ddeud i chenna. A sy'n sy'n at ych ddeud at anhonon egin ddichgi. A sy'n at ymolag i hiwrna o sy'n a doch gwlw gwaen. Yw ys yn irin o gwaen. Yw chrwy a ddannach ddys o siawld gwyn o trich gwrdw sy'n gyr a ys gran na chelarach ys chwys. Ma o sy'n hiwrna sy'n gwrn i'r lan yw ys o'r sy'n a tiolwg sy'n dachan yn ymdan sy'n ymach. A ys y gwrn i'r sy'n eith coen al yn y hiol. Bydw a ddnast ach ys o'r tocal sŵrs Let the spirit go be seen in a shadow of shoot, and the spirit of some feeding. Koinich horn marhil vich falais, gornish on a chachel who was at kyon, I wish a hill of a clear damage. Kibit away an ashtach, and a yachis miska and roy. I wish Moshana here as she gornish fark al kakur must day. Koinich horn and a shikamama shores, with a ronias kakush of the amateurs, glancing as a christ. Trorig y stiwydd cem, na ffags na treg sy'n yna trogin, yr sgach ys. Amen.
We sing again to God's praise in Psalm 121, John's Gospel, in the first chapter in particular, we are called to lift our eyes, to be in awe of who God is. And we sing the first two stanzas in Gaelic of the psalm, I to the hills, will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come my aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps.
Oh.
Turn with me, please, to John chapter 1. Just as we come back to the Word once more, let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word that we are reading just now, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which has been preserved over the generations and which is living and active. We thank you that as we read your Word, you reveal yourself to us and you address us at the point of need in our lives. And so we ask that as we read and as we meditate upon the Word, that you would be at work, Lord God. We pray that you would send the Holy Spirit, that he would teach us, that he would guide us, that he would be at work in this hall, in each of our lives. And what we pray for ourselves, Lord, in this fellowship, we pray for every fellowship that meets in a similar way over the course of this day in this place. We pray for Ian Murdo McDonald and ask that you would be with him as he opens your Word. We pray for Bruce Jordan and ask that you would lead and guide and speak through him also. And for the Episcopals as they meet in the course of the day also, we pray that you would lead and guide and be near to them. We ask, Father, that you would help us. We are those who are in need of your help in every way. And so we pray that you would help us and do us good as we seek to come before you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you will know that we've just moved into the new house over the last couple of weeks. And when you move into a new house, there's various things that you notice, both in terms of the view out and the layout and everything that is within. And I want to begin today just by showing you a picture of a picture. In Anna's room, there is a picture that was hanging on the wall. And as the curtains are opened in the morning and the sun streams into the room sometimes, what Anna noticed is that every day, the first thing that we are reminded of as we go into Anna's room, as the sun, the light streams in, it hits that one spot and it remains there for a short period before it moves off the room. And if you can read the picture there, what it says in that picture is, "All I need is Jesus." So every morning she wakes up, and we are given the reminder as we go in, that as the day begins, all we need is Jesus. Now I'm conscious that as we now hit December the 11th, I think it is, isn't it? The Christmas music, which we were beginning to hear last week, is a little bit louder this week than it was last week. The tinsel is a bit thicker. The lights, especially in Tarbert, are much more bright and obvious. The festive activities are coming to that hiatus, and the children we're now starting to scrape off the ceiling. And in the buzz of the season, we need to be reminded today and each day that Christmas is all about Christ. It's almost incredible that we would need that reminder. Christmas. And yet we so need it. In the buzz of activity, we need to remember Christmas is all about Christ. All we need is not mince pies or Christmas trees. All we need is Jesus. And with John chapter 1 open, once more, our eyes are lifted beyond ourselves and all that preoccupies us in the realm of time. And we are caused to lift our eyes and our gaze to consider the Lord, the Word, and think not on the temporal, but on the things of eternity. John, as the Spirit inspires him, leads us in considering these ultimate questions of who God is and why he took on flesh, why he made his dwelling amongst us. So who is God? Well, thinking back a week, he is eternal, verse 1. He has no beginning. He is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, verse 2. One God, three persons, one God. How can God be love? Think about that. God is love, John tells us in his letter. If you ask someone in the street, who is God? The question that they usually come back with is, God is love. Well, God is love, but he can only be love if he is in relationship. Love is a dynamic thing. So God can only be love if he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is who he is revealed to be in Scripture and in this chapter. He is triune. And thirdly, verse 3, he is Creator. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. There's two things I want to think about today. The first thing is, God is life, verse 4. And the next thing is, God is light, verse 5. So just 2 points this morning. First of all, then, God is life. In him was life, verse 4. In him was life. And the truth is, from him flows life. Now, what does that mean when we consider it? What form of life flows from God? That's the question. And the answer is, every form of life flows from God. Physical life flows from God. Spiritual life flows from God. Eternal life flows from God. So think first of all about physical life. Physical life finds its origin. We find the life that is in us. The source of that life is God. The life that pulses through our bodies came from God in the beginning. Whether the world recognizes that or not, that is the fact that is revealed to us by God in Scripture. He is the creator, he is the author, he is the sustainer of life. You watch children when they're playing. Children, they love these join the dot pictures. It's an observation that I can think back on. And you know how join the dot pictures works. You get the sheet of paper, and there's all these dots around the paper, and there's a number that's on each dot. And the children have to follow the dots in the sequential number, and as they do so, this bit of paper that was just dotted without any kind of sense or real definition suddenly becomes a picture that we can see. Some shape, some object comes into focus as they join the dots. There's a revelation. We see this big picture. Now, the Bible is 66 books, but they are all joined up. They are all connected. They are all inspired by the same author, the Spirit of God. He uses different people with different genres of writing, but there is one author, God the Spirit. And as we look at the connection lines from book to book within Scripture, the canon of Scripture, and as we make these connection lines, we see God. Think about John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Does that ring any bells about other passages in Scripture? Well, I'm sure you're making the connection already. John 1 connects with Genesis 1. The book of Genesis opens with the same line as John. In the beginning, God. And what we're supposed to see here is that the physical life that was breathed into this world, the physical life that was breathed into each one of us is given to us by God. The physical life that keeps us breathing for the number of years that we are given in this world is given to us by God. In Him was life. And Jesus, who is the Word, He made that claim very clearly as John's Gospel progresses. Think about John 11. Jesus says, in the story of Lazarus, when He calls Lazarus to come forth, and Jesus says to the sisters who are distraught with grief, "I am the resurrection and the life." Think about John chapter 14. Jesus says to the disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So God is life. God is the physical life giver. And the breath that you and I are breathing at present, the blood that is pumping through our veins, the light that's in our eyes, the tissue and the sinews and the muscle and the bones that's all within us, all of it finds its source in God. He is our maker. He is our life giver. He is our life sustainer. Every moment that we are given in time should be a reminder that God is life. And the life we have flows from God. Physical life flows from God. Secondly, spiritual life. It flows from God. I think we'll probably continue a bit into John's Gospel. And in John chapter 3, we'll be introduced to a man who we know well, called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man. Nicodemus was a man of standing, a man with a considerable reputation, a pillar in that community, a learned, academic, religious man, letters after his name. He was a man of standing. He was a man of biblical knowledge. He was alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. And he sees Jesus, the Word. And he recognizes in Jesus, the Word, a life that he does not have. And so he comes to Jesus. And Jesus sees him. And Jesus shows him that the spiritual life that he needs, the spiritual life that Nicodemus lacked and craved, only Christ could give. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and he says, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born spiritually. Nicodemus, you need the spiritual life that flows from God to be given to you, or you will never see the kingdom of God. Despite your letters, despite your reputation, despite your religious biblical knowledge, without the life, the spiritual life that is born from above, Nicodemus, you're going nowhere." Spiritual life flows from God. Physical life flows from God. Eternal life flows from God. I conducted a funeral on Wednesday. Many of you were praying for me, and I'm grateful for that. But when everyone is conducting a funeral, there is always a palpable sense of grief and sadness in that gathering. But when the person who has died is one who was trusting in Christ, as the Reverend Al MacArthur was, yes, we grieve. But we grieve as those who have hope. We grieve as those who have hope of eternal life. See, there is life beyond the grave. The Bible is good news. It's good news of an opportunity that is given to us to be taken not to death, but through death, into life that is eternal, life that is full, life that is abundant, life that is sin-free, life that is perfectly healthy, where there's no pain, and there's no illness, and there's no disease. A life where there is peace and harmony with everyone. Eternal life. And that eternal life that our souls have been wired to thirst for, it has one source. We get it one place. We get it from God when we come to Him and we ask Him. God is life. The question I would like to ask all of us in application is, how alive are you this morning? Everybody who's sitting here, as far as I can see, has physical life. But do we have spiritual life? Can you say this morning, I know that I have eternal life? The girls sometimes play a song that I've mentioned to you before. And it's a song that when I heard it, it made a real impact on me because of the sadness of it. The chorus in the song, the line that keeps getting repeated is, I learned to live half alive. I learned to live half alive. It's a girl who's having a cry about a relationship she's lost, and she feels now like she's half alive. But that's the chorus. I learned to live half alive. So many people, as we look around in this world, are singing that sad song. There are people in this hall this morning who will in their hearts be singing that sad song. I learned to live. I'm still learning to live half alive. So many people believe the devil's lie. You know, he promises that in the glitz and the glamour of fame and popularity and wealth and worldly gain, he says, that's where life is. You want to feel full life? Then watch your bank account rise. Watch your popularity ratings go through the roof. That's where life is. Everybody looking at you, the X Factor, light shining. You're the star. That's life, says the devil. And most of us don't get anywhere near that place. But those who do get near that place, we watch them rise to stardom. And the more they get, the sadder they get. And the closer they get to their goal, the more they start to realize that their goal is not actually that worthwhile chasing. And those who get there are left feeling dead inside. See, the devil, with all his offers, comes, as it says in John 10:10, only to steal from us and to kill us spiritually, to destroy the true life that our souls crave. Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. So if you and I want to know real life, what do we need to do? Not chase oasis, mirage type of goals that are in the distance. We need to come to Jesus. We need to get to know Jesus, because spiritual life, eternal life, flows only from Him, the God-man, the Word made flesh. Last week we were given a freezer, for which we're very grateful. Put it in the garage, and we took it along to the plug. We plugged it in, we switched the switch, And then Married hurt her ankle, so she was given a bag of frozen peas. The frozen peas went on her ankle for the evening. And then at the end of the evening, I took the frozen peas, put them in the freezer that had been switched on. And by the morning, the frozen peas were mushy peas. Why? Because there was no power getting through to the garage. The cable was run, the sockets were in place, the switches were all there. Every outward sign indicated that there would be power, but it's not yet connected. It'll be connected soon. Don't feel sorry for me. The point is, it's not yet connected. Can I ask, is there anybody here in church this morning who's like that? All the outward signs are there. There's no life yet. Every week, you sit in church, in the chair, the church clothes go on, the Bible's in the house, might even read it. You know the right things to say. You have all the outward marks of religion, but there's no life yet. No spiritual life. No assurance of eternal life. How can that change? It can change this instant by coming to Christ, by trusting in Christ. He is the Word. He is the God-man. He is the one in whom there is life. Come to Him. Confess sin. Confess the deadness, the helplessness of our own souls apart from Him. And all the good things we try and do to make ourselves look better in God's sight. Filthy rags is what they're like, says Isaiah. So we need to come to Him and say, I can't do it. I'm dead. But Lord Jesus, forgive me. Breathe your life, your spiritual life, your eternal life into my souls. God is life. Secondly, finally, God is light. Look at verse 4 into verse 5. In Him was life, Jesus, and that life was the light of men. Then verse 5 in particular, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, when you look at this verse, depending on what version you're reading, you'll see a variation. Some of the translations of the Bible translate this verse as the NIV does. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. But in the NIV, there's an acknowledgement that there is another translation of that particular word. And so we have it in the footnote. We also have it as the preferred translation in the ESV. The ESV says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. So you've got two possible translations there. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. Or, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. So which one's right? The answer to the question, I think, is both are right. The word that is used in the Greek is an ambiguous word. It can be translated both ways. But whichever way you think about it, technically, it's true. So what I want to do for the next few minutes, as we come to a conclusion, is think through both possibilities of this verse in the light of Christ. First possibility, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Who is the light? Well, the light is Christ. The light is Jesus, and we see the beginnings of that in John 1, and we see that become clearer and clearer as John's gospel progresses. Think about John 8 and John 9. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. One commentator, Montgomery Boyce, says, by this title, the light, Jesus is revealed as the one who knows God the Father and who makes him known. Before Christ came into the world was in darkness. The world did not know God. Christ came, his light shone before men. Then men had light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So think about this. As we light Christmas candles in our homes, in Skagham, Harris is a place where there are many, many candles. We all know that. As we see the lights going round this hall, switched on, the lights in the Christmas tree, the lights in the shop window, the lights that are strewn across the whole street, the whole place of Tarborough, the lights outside the Christmas tree at the distillery and the Harris tree shop. Over the course of the next few weeks, everywhere we look, there's light. And as we see it, we have to remember Jesus. That's why all these lights are here. That's who we're to remember. Christ. We are to remember the light came, but the darkness was such in the world that we did not understand him. The world did not recognize him. The world did not receive him. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Think about this. Jesus was the most misunderstood man in history. Shortly after his birth, Herod wants to kill him. He thinks that Jesus had come to be an earthly king, to try and dethrone him. And so he wants to snuff him out. Herod just doesn't understand. Think about the religious Jews. Week after week, they read through the Old Testament scriptures. They were academic masters in the Old Testament scriptures that pointed forward to the coming Messiah. And yet when the Messiah came, and when he stood in front of them, and when he looked them in the eye, and when he addressed them personally, when he read the very scriptures that testified to himself, they didn't recognize him. In fact, they wanted to kill him. They didn't understand the light. Think about the crowds in Jesus' ministry that we see through the Gospels. They flocked to him. They were amazed by his miracles. They were enthralled by his parables. They were entertained by all the amazing things that he did. But largely, they just didn't understand him. Even Christ's family. As Jesus' ministry intensified on earth, and he missed the odd meal or two, we can read in Mark 3:21, we don't have time to go there just now, that his family thought that he was, quote, out of his mind. They didn't understand him. The Roman soldiers, as they nailed Jesus' beaten and bruised and bloodied body to a cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They didn't understand him. The light shone into the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Do we understand who Jesus is? Do we understand today why Jesus came? See, if we think that he came to be a new philosopher, we're not understanding. If we think that he came to be one of another religious gurus that we can file in the religious section of world religions, we don't understand him. If we think that Jesus came to be an inspirational character, a life coach type person, who can make us be all we can be, we don't really fully understand him. If we think that Jesus came to be our personal assistant, our crisis manager, the one that we go to in times of trouble and drop when things become calm, we don't understand him. If we think that Jesus came to sprinkle our lives with his blessing like Christmas fairy dust, we don't understand him. Jesus came to save you and I. That's why he came. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came to rescue us. The light came into the world to rescue us from outer eternal darkness. He came so that those who would believe in him would not perish, but would live, and live as children of God, verse 13. Do we understand that? The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Finally, let's think about the second rendering. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. It's an interesting word that John uses in the Greek. And when you go back to the root of the word is all mixed up in the imagery of a fight. Literally a wrestle. And the truth is, when Jesus stepped into time, when the light shone into the darkness, all the dark forces of Satan came immediately to wrestle and war and fight and rage against him. We see at Jesus' birth that difficult section to read over the Christmas story. Satan uses Herod to try and wipe out every baby in the land. And this wrestle against this king-to-be. We see as Jesus' ministry commences, Satan immediately is on him. And he plies him with temptation after temptation. He's trying to lure him into sin. And this war against him. And we see it in the most concentrated way at Calvary. But all the depth of darkness of your sin and mine sought together with the darkness of Satan and hell to overcome Jesus. On Calvary we see this war where darkness is trying to snuff out the light of the world. And for a moment it looked like darkness had overcome. As Jesus said, it is finished. And he laid down his life. But 3 days later, he rose. And it became wondrously clear that the darkness did not overcome the light, but the light overcame the darkness. You know, we love to go to cinema and watch these epic battles of light versus darkness, of good versus evil. You know, the most epic battle of all time is not a fantasy tale set in some never-never land. It's not some battle in the saloon in the Wild West. It's the story of the cross of Calvary. And the good news is that the darkness did not overcome the light. And when Jesus comes back, that fact will be gloriously, wondrously, undeniably clear. When the King of Kings is seen coming in the skies, we will all know The darkness did not overcome the light. But meantime, today, there is a battle going on for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Still the powers of darkness fight on. Still the prince of darkness, Satan, seeks to stop you and I from coming to the light of Christ. So what will you do? Do we see Jesus this morning, the light of the world? Do we understand who he is, Saviour, and why he came for us to die? If you see it, it's because God the Spirit is showing you. If you see it, respond. Receive him. Trust him. And the assurance is that you will share in that overcoming. You will share in that victory over darkness, over death, into light, and into life that is full in time and eternal. Who is God? He's life. Who is God? He is light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of the fact that you reveal yourself to us in Scripture. And there's only so much that we can grasp. But we pray that what you have enabled us to understand, you would enable us to respond to. We pray, Lord, that we would know Jesus, the light of the world, and know him as our Saviour. And we pray that we would know that life that comes from the relationship we can have with you through Christ, beginning even in this moment as we bow before you for some and going on for all eternity. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing to conclude Mission Praise 1072. I don't think we can overlook this hymn in the light of the passage that we read. 1072. In Christ alone my hope is found. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.